I can remember a few years into being saved that people would tell me, well, you just need to renew your mind. And I would be like, what does that mean? What does it mean to renew my mind? And most importantly, how do I actually do it? So I think that this topic is another one. How do we take every thought captive? What does this look like? So here's a truth that I want you to really think about today. Taking every thought captive isn't about controlling your mind. It's about aligning it with truth one thought at a time. So if you've ever actually wondered how to do this, this episode is for you. So what does this mean? What does it mean to take every thought captive? So let's just start with the verse itself. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. This was written by Paul in the context of spiritual battle. So he's saying, don't just accept every thought as truth. We have to take it and measure it against Christ, the word of God. We need to challenge it. Is this true? Is this not? And really bring it under his authority. And you might say, yeah, Jess, I get that part. Okay. Let's look at this from a clinical perspective. We know that our brain runs on patterns. Thoughts become beliefs. Beliefs shape emotions, and emotions drive actions. Therefore, if your thoughts go unchecked, they will run your life. What I like to say is that our beliefs impact our behaviors. But if we look at this from that spiritual perspective, God is inviting us to take those thoughts, especially the ones that are not true, and bring them into alignment with who he is and what he says. But I think that it's so hard for many of us because, one, we're stressed. We're living in a society where it is like, you better be busy or else. It's very unheard of for somebody to say, I'm slowing down, you know, and they might even believe that you can't slow down. So it's really hard for us to even identify and take thoughts captive because our mind is so full. Also, our thoughts move fast. So most researchers estimate the average person has 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day. And many of those are repeated, automatic, and shaped by past experiences. So if you've kind of ever thought of this before, maybe you felt like this, how you feel like you try to take your thoughts captive, but you still spiral. Maybe you feel like you catch the lie, but it still feels true. You're trying to discern, is this a lie or is this the truth? Or maybe you even thought something like, I don't even notice the thought until I've already reacted. And I just want you to know that you're not alone. It doesn't mean like you're broken or your brain is just doing what it's learned to do. And the good news is that it can be rewired. We see it in scripture, renew your minds, right? Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this means it's an active way of doing things. It's active, it's renewing, which means it is a constant state, which means you're not going to get it perfect. And it means that you are going to progress slowly. And you're going to have to maybe think a new pattern multiple times with one thought at a time. So what does this actually look like? Okay. When you think I'm not good enough, this is a core belief that might come up after you've had maybe a hard conversation, maybe you've made a mistake, or even just scrolling on social media, right? Like you feel like you're not good enough. So instead of agreeing with it, we kind of just need to pause and ask, where did this thought come from? We might need to write it down or speak it out loud. I'm noticing I just thought I'm not good enough. Taking it captive looks like noticing, naming, and redirecting. I want to be careful here because sometimes when I'm in my one-on-one coaching sessions with my clients, they think that I'm saying, okay, so I'm just supposed to quote scripture. And that's not what I'm saying. We actually have to be present with our thought or that core belief and filter it through scripture. So we want to be aware, which is the noticing. And then we want to name this core belief that we are believing. And then we have to redirect it. We don't shut it down. We don't go, I don't want to feel like this, or that's not true. We actually have to take it somewhere. So it's kind of like the pain is, or the thought of the pain or the core belief is going to just connect to the truth. So we want to think about, you know, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If we're going to be talking about not feeling good enough, we have to, again, notice it. And then usually we have to go back to another core belief of who told you that you weren't good enough? And then we go into the truth. A second example, when you think everything is going to fall apart, this could be anxiety speaking, maybe being triggered by a situation that you're uncertain of. So instead of spiraling, we might need to ground ourselves in the moment. Like right now, I am safe. Right now, I'm okay. We might need to breathe deeply. We might need to place, our hand on our heart or our stomach and start breathing. But most importantly, taking thoughts captive here means slowing the panic and inserting truth and presence into the fear. So it's going to look different, as you can see, for different situations, especially when your body starts to feel it. You're going to have to work on grounding your body and calming your body down, which are tools that we would work on together inside of coaching sessions. But every situation is going to be so unique. So this example that I'm sharing is about our bodies, right? And I think that's important. That's why I wanted to include that, is sometimes we're going to be in a setting where our thoughts are going to start racing. And then another one, we're going to recognize our body is responding. Number three, when you think maybe God is disappointed in me, this might come from kind of religious trauma, spiritual manipulation, unhealed shame. So instead of avoiding God, we might ask, is this how God describes himself in scripture? We want to think about how capturing this thought means filtering it through God's character, not your past experience. Let's get into some more practical steps though for capturing your thoughts. These need to be repeated again and again. We want to pause and notice. So you're going to hear me say this a lot, but whenever we want transformation involved, there has to be this pausing and noticing. What is happening inside of me? Why do I believe this way? We want to slow down long enough to hear the thought. This might be just journaling or praying out loud. You might even talk to somebody about it and just have them listen. So you need to say, what am I believing right now? And is this thought helping or hurting? Then we want to name the lie and speak the truth. This is the turning point. You replace the automatic with the intentional. Lie, I'm too much. Truth, God formed me on purpose for a purpose. This is where the renewal begins. But again, there has to be core belief being transformed here. Who told you that you were too much? Where is that broken spot in your heart that keeps telling you you're too much? And then when people come in your life, it's getting affirmed. And you keep holding on to the core belief. So we need to speak the truth, which is God formed me on purpose for purpose. Yes, but we have to transform the actual core belief. So it's not just about quoting scripture on top of the pain. It's welcoming pain into the scripture. Step three, we really want to begin to surrender it. Meaning renewing your mind is not a one-time event, as I've said. It's a relationship with your thoughts and with God. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest for one moment here, in today's age, I think we're so hyper aware of mental health, which I think is awesome and great. But I also see it becoming a hindrance because we're so quick to just diagnose everything. And then we start to overthink everything and that becomes overwhelming. And sometimes you're just having a bad day and you're upset and you're frustrated and your hormones kick in and all the things. It doesn't always need to be something deep and intense. Sometimes it's just what happened in that day. Okay. I want to ease your mind on that too. I think that's important for me to say. Not everything needs a diagnosis. Sometimes you're just having a bad day. Sometimes you're just having some feelings, but it doesn't mean that you have to trace back every thought, every feeling, and make meaning of it. So some thoughts may come back, but that doesn't mean you fail. It just kind of means you're human. When I think about my life, if somebody was like, Jessica, how did you start changing your core beliefs? There isn't one specific thing that I'm like, yes, that was it. I have just noticed that I have multiple journals. I'm a journaler. I know some of you are like, ugh, hate journaling. But I've been a journaler and that has helped me process so much. And in my 20s, I had a coach that guided me with a lot of mental things, spiritual and dating and lies and parent trauma and all that kind of stuff. I had hired a coach for multiple months to help me through that. And it was tough. I ain't gonna lie. But then it got easier. And now I can recognize it. Now I can name it. But it was because I chose one thought at a time and I chose one truth at a time over and over again. But we also have to be willing, okay, this thought is attached to anger. Do I need to forgive somebody? So you can see how some of this is very practical. Lie and a truth. I need to take what I'm feeling and create a new core belief. Because if my beliefs impact my behaviors, then we can look at our beliefs right now and see why we behave the way that we do. But it takes time to do this. And there is multiple layers to this. There isn't one quick, easy answer, but in our everyday lives, whether our body starts to feel it, our mind, or we have to start noticing and naming it or redirecting it, or even just that spiritual manipulation or religious trauma that we've had, training ourselves to come out of fight or flight, out of survival mode, so it doesn't stop at our amygdala, it can reach our prefrontal cortex and start to have reason, which again is why it might be hard to take thoughts captive at first. There might have to be some healing in the body and nervous system to be able to take those thoughts captive. If I were to sum up today's episode of what does it look like to take your thought captive in real life, I think it would look something like this. Pausing instead of spiraling, replacing lies with truth, walking with God in the thought, not waiting until it's perfect. And remember, it's not about controlling every thought. It's about training your mind to come back to the truth again and again. And every time you do that, even imperfectly, you're learning to take a thought captive. You get to choose what thoughts you think as you begin to heal and process. You're untangling the lies, and God is able to rewrite your story based on how He sees you, not how the world sees you or how you are viewing yourself through your pain. And most importantly, you're not doing it alone. So just remember that this is a process, and it's not a one-step formula, and it's going to look different in every area, but it is 100% possible. Today, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because He delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.